Chapter 12. I walked slowly toward the inn and looked at the city of Eurosa. Shadows filled the spaces between the wooden buildings, and not a soul crept through the dark streets. The three moons of Inati were the only source of light, but I didn't need any light thanks to my dragon vision. As I strolled through town, I realized the soul bridge with sky was slightly different from the others. It was the same white rope, but it had thin, red strings woven throughout the braid. I wondered if her energy power had anything to do with the connection. But before I could ponder too much, I'd reached the inn. I felt the exhaustion of the day wash over me as I opened the door and walked inside. The main room and dining room were both empty, which meant it was even later than I'd imagined. I went upstairs in silence, and I gently pushed open the door to the room I shared with my lovers.
"You're back!"
Polina shrieked and then covered her mouth as her sisters shushed her.
"Sorry."
"What are you doing up?" I laughed. "It's so late."
"We were just talking, but then we noticed the newest soul bridge,"
Mariah replied with a sly smile.
"And we figured we'd ask how Sky was doing."
Laika winked, and the others erupted into fits of giggles. "She's doing much better now," I smirked, and they all doubled over with laughter. She was very interested in us, so I gave her some additional information.
"I'm sure you did,"
Trina giggled.
"Maybe next time we should help with your lessons."
"I think that's a great idea," I replied, and my cock twitched in my trousers at the thought of my women's warm welcome to Sky.
"So is she going to go with us when we leave Eurosa?"
Isabella wondered.
"That would be so fun!"
Marina clapped her hands together with excitement.
"I'd love to teach her more nature magic."
"And we could keep working on her sword fighting,"
Laika added. "We didn't talk about that," I answered. She seemed interested in our adventures, though.
"Well, did you invite her?"
Aliona pressed. Sort of. I ran my hands through my hair as I replayed our conversation. I told her my women go everywhere they can with me, and she felt the soul bridge, too, so...
"So what?"
Polina rolled her eyes.
"You're a smart dragon, Lord Evan. A woman likes to be invited."
Oh, gods. I hadn't even thought about that.
"You didn't even tell her you wanted her to come with us?"
Marina asked with wide eyes.
"Oh, no."
"You have to at least tell her we'd love to have her with us,"
Isabella insisted. "Okay, okay," I said, as I held my hands up in surrender. "I'll tell her tomorrow after the duel that we'd like her to join us. But it's her decision if she does it or not. As much as I'd love to bring her into the family full time, she has to want it too."
"Of course,"
Aliona agreed.
"We never want her to feel obligated."
"Good." I nodded my head. "Now can I please get some sleep? I kind of have this thing in the morning where I have to duel this crazy Nakan guy." My women giggled for a few minutes before we all curled up on the bed and fell asleep. My dreams were filled with bolts of red lightning and sword fights, but I couldn't seem to string together anything that made sense. I woke up with Sky already on my mind, and I hoped she'd decide to go with us on the rest of our mission. As I got up to get dressed, my lovers began to rouse as well, and within a few minutes, we were all headed downstairs for a quick breakfast. Nike met us in the dining room, and I was happy to see Peppy had left some fruit and bread on the table for us. I wasn't sure if she'd be awake this early, but it seemed she was looking out for us. After we'd each had our fill, we filed quietly out the door into the still dark morning. The sun hadn't risen yet, which meant we had plenty of time to go to Sky's house and bring her with us to the dome. "So, what's the dome?" I asked Isabella, as we walked through the quiet streets toward the noble community.
"It's a dome,"
she deadpanned before she laughed and shook her head.
"It used to be training grounds for the city guards, but they built a new one closer to City Hall a few years ago. It's basically been empty ever since."
"Where is it?" I wondered.
"Past the gardens,"
the Nepin explained.
"Hardly anyone goes there, which is why I figured it would work out well."
"Fair enough," I agreed as we arrived at Sky's house. I stepped forward to knock on the door, but it opened before I touched it. Sky bounced back and forth between her feet as she gripped the handle of the Sword of Youth while it rested in her root scabbard. I glanced past her to see Carmen, who looked considerably less excited. But she grabbed a satchel and wrapped it around her torso before she joined us at the door.
"We are ready,"
Sky declared with a grin. Let's go, I replied, and matched her smile. Isabella led us past the noble community, and I caught a whiff of the variety of flowers that filled the garden where we'd found the Sword of Youth. We skipped past the garden gate and continued closer to the city walls, and as we crested a large hill, I looked down to see a wide, domed building. It looked like the only stone building in the entire city, and the sun peeked over the horizon just as we made our way to the open door in the center. When we walked inside, it looked to be about half the size of a football field, and it featured 4 or 5 rows of stadium seating all the way around. Rocco sat on a bench near the opposite side, and he barely glanced up from his sword. I smirked when I realized he was sharpening the blade as though he thought it would intimidate me. Sparks flew with every strike from his tool, and the sound of the stone against the metal blade was like music to my ears.
"Are you sure you're ready for this?"
Skye asked in a momentary fit of worry. "All good," I assured her, before I turned to the rest of my lovers. "Mariah?"
"I'm coming,"
she murmured. In the blink of an eye, the sword spirit had entered my spiritual sea, and I felt the rush of her power as I gently touched the handle of the Sword of Hatra. I knew I had nothing to worry about.
"Did you see a sword?"
Lyca asked under her breath. I homed in on Rocco's weapon of choice, and I could pick out detailed markings along the silver blade that lined up with more designs crisscrossed around the slender golden handle. A few jewels were encrusted into the hilt, and another jewel adorned the very tip of the handle. "What about it?" I wondered.
"It's a traditional Nakan blade,"
Polina answered.
"Only warriors who have completed their final ritual are allowed to carry one,"
Trina added. "Well, at least he's had a lot of practice," I said with a shrug. "It doesn't change anything."
"Maybe not,"
Lyca agreed.
"But don't underestimate him. The Nakan train their warriors to kill without mercy. I wouldn't be surprised if Rocco went for the kill in his first strike."
"Then he's about to have a rude awakening," I scoffed. "Dragons don't die that easily."
"I think you'll have to fight him in human form, my love,"
Aliona pointed out.
"This dome is perfect for a duel, but not so perfect for your, rather large dragon form."
"You're probably right," I agreed. "That's okay. I want this to be a fair fight. Mano a mano."
"You know we have no idea what that means, right?"
Lyca grunted, though the hint of a smile crossed her lips. "Wish me luck," I said, as I started across the arena.
"You're going to need it, dragon,"
Rocco declared, and rose from his seat to brandish his sword with a few swipes through the air. "It's just a phrase," I smirked while I walked toward him. "I don't think I'll need much, if any."
"You've never battled a Nakan," he hissed. "You have no idea what I'm capable of."
"And you've never battled me," I shot back. "Don't be too sure I won't have some tricks up my sleeve."
"Already planning to cheat, then?"
Rocco raised an eyebrow.
"I assume you know magic in a true duel is illegal."
"Of course," I muttered, though half my plans to beat him had just flown out the window. "Everyone knows that."
"And you also know the duel will be a fight to the death," he continued. "The winner shall stand over the loser's corpse to declare his victory."
"That's not creepy at all," I rolled my eyes and motioned for him to continue.
"If you somehow manage to beat me, Skye keeps the Sword of Youth," he added. "However, when I am victorious, I will claim the blade and return to the Lake of Avmon."
"When?" I shook my head. "Oh, whatever. Let's just get on with it." Rocco grinned and tossed his sharpening stone to the ground before he walked over to stand in front of me. I pulled the Sword of Healing from my belt and waited for him to blow a whistle or say go or something. But instead, he held his sword out in front of him. I cautiously touched his blade with mine, and then he stepped back and crouched. The duel was on. Rocco charged toward me with his sword gripped tightly in his right hand. He made a quick jab toward my torso, and I dodged the blow with a sidestep. Then he whirled around and slashed at the back of my neck, but I doubled over and heard the whistle of his sword in the air above my head. I spun around and kicked my feet out. My boots connected with his shins, and the Nakan stumbled back before he growled and charged me again. This time I parried strike after strike. The clangs of our swords meeting reminded me of every medieval show I'd ever watched growing up, and I couldn't help but grin.
"Do you find this amusing?"
Rocco snarled as he spun around and took a quick swipe at my ribs. A little bit. I blocked the strike with my forearm, and his eyes widened when his blade connected with my scales and sent reverberations up the metal into his hands.
I said no magic, he bellowed.
It's just my scales, dude, I retorted. Can't help it if you picked a fight with a dragon. He roared and came at me with his sword at his side. The world seemed to move in slow motion when I caught a glimpse of his left fist soaring toward my jaw, and I threw up my forearm and drove the handle of my sword into his gut. Rocco doubled over with a grunt, and I took advantage of his lowered head. I brought my knee up into his face and sent him flying on his ass across the arena while his sword clattered to the ground between us.
No!
He thundered as he clambered to his feet. He wiped the blood from his nose and smeared it across his cheek before he sprinted toward me again. He whipped a dagger out from inside his leather armor and clenched it in his fist as he dove toward me with his arms outstretched. I ducked under the Nacken and rolled backward to plant my boots in his chest. Then I used his momentum to shove him behind me before I rolled to my feet and faced him again.
Whoa, I can't use magic, but you can use a dagger? I said with a grimace. That kind of sounds like bullshit. I said no magic, he sneered as he rose to his feet. I didn't say no other weapons.
Unfortunately, I had no other non-magical weapons, but I'd done just fine with the Sword of Healing at my side. So I gripped the handle and decided to take matters into my own hands. I sprinted toward the Nacken and swung the blade in a wide arc that landed solidly against the hardened leather around his middle. My blade slowed when it met the resistance of his armor, but it eventually cut through the covering and sliced into Rocco's torso. Blood seeped from the minor wound, and he reached down to trace the line with his fingers. When he looked at the crimson liquid on his hand, he furrowed his brow and glared at me, but I didn't give him a chance to return the favor. Instead, I whirled around and delivered another strike to his upper thigh. I took care not to cut off his leg, but another river of blood dripped down his brown leathers, and he grunted in pain. I took another step forward and turned to the side to jab the handle of my sword against his already broken nose. Rocco stumbled backward and swung blindly with his dagger, but I deftly avoided the wild blows and dealt an uppercut to his jaw. The Nacken's eyes rolled back in his head as he fell backward and tried to catch himself. I jumped on top of him and rained down a series of punches on his face and abdomen. I aimed for his solar plexus and every other weak spot I could think of until he gasped for breath and moved into a defensive position to cover his face.
"Have you had enough?"
I yelled, a few inches from his nose.
"I'm still alive, aren't I?"
he grumbled as he landed a quick punch to my temple. I was dazed for a split second, but that was all he needed. Rocco rolled out from underneath me and sprinted toward his sword.
"Damn it,"
I muttered, as I stood up and met him in the center of the dome. Our swords clashed again, and I met every one of his strikes with a quick parry and a strike of my own. Blood dribbled down from both of his wounds, but he still moved quickly. I kept my eyes on the Nacken as he tried to deliver blows to my chest and throat, though none of them landed. Then Rocco made a move he soon regretted. He leapt forward and jabbed his blade toward my face, but I craned my neck and watched the blade slice through the air next to me before I reached out and grabbed his wrist. I wrenched down on the joint, and his sword fell to the ground with a metallic clang.
Ah!
He yelled as I yanked his arm behind him and pressed my sword to his throat.
What was that you were saying?
I sneered as droplets of his blood trickled down my blade.
About me somehow managing to beat you? Enough with the talk!
Rocco snarled.
Just end the duel and let me die an honorable death.
I glanced over to see my women huddled together while Nike and Carmen watched intently. Then I focused on Skye. Her face looked like a storm of emotions as she watched me hold her brother in a position that could most definitely kill him, and I could tell part of her was terrified I would. She'd only just discovered he existed, and here I was about to take him away from her. I couldn't imagine the questions she would be forced to leave unanswered if I ended this duel the way Rocco expected.
I think you know the choice you should make,
Mariah advised quietly from my spiritual sea. While my inner dragon roared at me to finish the job, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it to Skye. And even though it may have been stupid, I didn't want to do it to Rocco. He was a stupid kid who was raised to believe he was supposed to do this challenge, and he deserved a chance to make things right. "I'm not going to do that, Rocco," I said, as I softened my grip on the sword and pushed him away from me. "You're going to live today."
"No," he growled and whirled around to face me. "If you don't kill me, you haven't won the challenge. It's a duel to the death."
Yeah, I heard you say all that," I muttered. "But you aren't going to beat me, and I'm not going to kill you. So I'd say we're at a bit of a crossroads here."
"Why won't you kill me?" Rocco demanded.
"One, I don't enjoy killing people who don't deserve it," I pointed out. "I know that seems to be some kind of dragon myth, but I just don't live up to that one. And two, because you have someone in our audience who actually looked pretty upset at the thought of you dying, and I'd rather not upset her."
"Who?"
The Nacken looked over his shoulder, and Skye's gaze dropped to her feet.
"Skye?"
"Yeah, dumbass," I muttered. "You're her brother. She may not have known about you until yesterday, but she doesn't want you to meet your death already. I could see it all over her face when I was about to kill you."
"Why?"
he pressed, though he seemed less angry and more confused.
"Why would she care if I lived or died?"
"Because she has a heart, I guess," I shrugged, and returned the Sword of Healing to my scabbard. "You should ask her."
"This duel, even if you don't complete it, doesn't change the fact that she doesn't even deserve to wield the Sword of Youth,"
Rocco snarled as he turned back around to meet my stare.
"She has no right! She was never taught the ways of a warrior!"
Before I could respond, Skye stomped across the arena and stood next to me with her arms folded over her chest.
"Then teach me,"
she ordered.
"What?"
Rocco's face registered a sense of utter bewilderment.
"Jeweled me,"
Skye hissed, and narrowed her two-toned eyes.
"If you don't think I have the right to this sword because I wasn't taught, then teach me."
"Don't you already have a teacher?"
Rocco smirked and gestured toward me.
"He will if you don't,"
she agreed.
"But you seem to need assurance that I'll do right by the Sword of Youth, so you can make sure I do so by teaching me the ways you learned."
My eyes darted back and forth between the siblings as they both waited for the other to speak, and I started to step in when Rocco finally crossed his arms to match her defensive pose and chuckled.
"I'll think about it," he declared.
"Then you can come tell me your decision at dinner,"
Skye replied.
"You obviously know where I live, so you can come there, eat, and tell me if you'll teach me."
Rocco stared at her as though he waited for the other shoe to drop, but Skye didn't flinch, so he finally dipped his head to her and stormed past us to the door. He walked out into the daylight and let the door slam shut behind him, and I looked at Skye with raised eyebrows. "You really want to learn from him?" I wondered. "He was ready to kill you, and then me, obviously."
"I care less about learning his way of fighting than I do learning about him,"
Skye explained with a fragile smile.
"And thank you, by the way."
"For what?" I asked.
"Not killing him,"
she replied.
"I didn't want to ask you not to, because I didn't want him to win the duel. But I hated the thought of my brother getting killed before I even really talked to him about something besides birthrights."
"Understandable." I smiled and wrapped my arm around her shoulders. "Now, let's go join the others. We have a few things to discuss today."
"Of course,"
she answered. We walked back over to the rest of the group, and I realized Carmen still stared at the door where Rocco had left. She still seemed to be in a daze about the young Nacken, and I wasn't sure how else we could help her. It would just take time for her to get used to the kid's existence.
"So is he headed back to the lake?"
Polina asked. "Maybe," I hedged, and glanced over at Skye. It was her situation to explain, and I didn't want to step on her toes by broadcasting her offer to Rocco. She seemed to understand my hesitation, and she sighed before she clarified.
"I asked him to stay,"
she explained.
"I told them if he wants to make sure the Sword of Youth is used by someone with the right training, he should train me himself."
"You did what?"
Carmen gasped and covered her mouth.
"Skye, why would you ask him to stay? He came here to kill you."
"I know, but it's not his fault he was told all these things about coming to take the sword from me and being the rightful heir. I know it hurts to think about, but he's my little brother. I have to look out for him when I can."
"You don't owe him anything,"
her mother seethed. "Maybe not," I interjected. But if Skye feels it's right, then we should let her make her own decision.
Like she made the decision to come with you for some crazy blood ceremony?
Carmen spat out. Yes, I confirmed, and ignored her frosty attitude. And I know it's not the best timing, but we really need to get to that today. Carmen's mouth dropped open at my blunt statement, but I focused on Skye and getting her prepped for the ceremony.
I'm ready when you are,
Skye declared, and there wasn't even a hint of doubt in her voice or stance. We'll go to the ceremony site and meet with King Rodion, I explained. He'll do the ceremony with us, and we should be able to be back before your dinner with Rocco.
Wait, you invited Rocco to dinner?
Carmen cut in.
Yes, Mother.
Skye sighed and turned back to me.
Do you think we can make it to the Mihareti Mountains and back before dinner?
I know we can, I chuckled. We have our ways.
Oh, my gods.
Carmen muttered and dug her fingers into her hair.
Do you really plan to go through with this blood ceremony with that dragon thing?
Yes!
Skye cried out as she threw her hands up in the air.
Mother, I'm a grown woman. I respect you and everything you've done for me, but now I have to do this for myself and for the people of Rama. I can't sit around and do nothing while our people could be dying.
You have your father's warrior heart,
Carmen whispered as she blinked back tears.
You just what?
Skye encouraged her with a hand on her mother's shoulder.
I just can't bear the thought of losing you,
Carmen breathed.
I already lost your father to his battles and wars, but I can't lose you too.
The dryads wiped tears from their eyes as Skye wrapped her arms around her mother and squeezed.
You aren't losing me, Mama,
Skye soothed her.
I'll be perfectly safe with Lord Evan, right?
I swear it, I agreed. In fact, you can see for yourself. As soon as I spoke the words, I wondered if I'd come to regret them.
What do you mean?
Carmen looked at me with wide eyes.
Do you want me to come with you?
I want you to understand what Skye is doing, I explained. If that means you come see the ceremony, then that's what we can do. She's your daughter, and I understand you want to keep her safe, but she's also a noble of the sword. She has to do things you may not like because they're the right things to do. The Redeemi Vincio ceremony is the right thing to do. And when we close the breach, you'll understand. For now, I'll settle for letting you see that she's not going there to be hurt.
I've only ever left Dirosa once, when it was brief,
she murmured. It's your choice, I replied. I'll warn you, though. The ceremony valley is close to the breach, so it isn't completely free of any danger. And you'll have to listen to me and my people to stay safe. Can you do that?
Yes,
the Nepin woman said in a stronger voice.
I need to make sure I know what Skye is getting into.
Then we need to prepare to leave, I declared. Carmen nodded, turned on her heels, and marched toward the door. I looked at the others in question, but I shrugged my shoulders and followed her outside.
My lord, are you sure this is a good idea?
Lyca whispered once we were walking away from the dome. Nope, I muttered.
She has nothing to protect her if anything goes wrong, Nike pointed out.
She has us, I replied. She's Skye's mom, and we can't let anything happen to her. If this is the only way we can get Skye to the ceremony, then it's what we have to do. You know we don't have any other options.
Besides leaving her behind,
the wolf demi-human grumbled.
Lyca makes a valid point, even if you don't like it,
Mariah said in a kind voice.
Carmen could be in danger by going with us.
I know, I agreed, but it's her choice, and who am I to tell her she can't make sure her daughter is safe? The sword spirit didn't seem to have an argument for that, so we continued to follow Carmen until we reached the noble community.
What are we doing here?
Aliona wondered.
I just need to grab a few things,
Carmen replied with a dismissive wave of her hand as she strolled into her house. A few things? I repeated, and glanced over at Nike, who shrugged.
What do you think you need to bring to a Redeemi Vincio ceremony?
Isabella asked with a genuine curiosity.
Well, first of all, I assume I'll need to wear more appropriate clothing,
Carmen retorted.
I'm wearing my casual robes, and this sounds like a more formal event.
That doesn't matter, I chuckled. No one else is changing clothes for this.
Didn't you say King Rodion will be there?
She scoffed.
I'm not wearing this in front of him.
She rushed upstairs before I could stop her, and I sighed as Skye stifled a laugh.
She likes to make sure she keeps up her appearance at all times,
the Naiad Nepin said. I can see that, I muttered, before I turned to the Dryads. Please go make sure she's not putting on a ball gown or something.
Of course,
Marina giggled. The trio rushed up the stairs after Carmen, and I looked over at Aliona as she rifled through her spatial storage for her white jade hand mirror. She often used a mirror magic spell to communicate with the king, and she would have to let him know we planned to arrive today in order for the Redeemi Vincio ceremony to be prepped and ready to go.
I just don't see why I wouldn't need anything at all,
Carmen said, as the Dryads ushered her back downstairs a few minutes later.
Are we going to be flying to get so far and back in less than a day? I don't think a hairbrush is unreasonable.
It would be possible, but super uncomfortable for all of us to ride on Lord Evan's back to the mountains,
Polina pointed out with a grin.
We'd probably take up his whole back. And I don't know about you, but riding on his tail sounds a little terrifying.
Marina finished.
Exactly,
Trina agreed. No one is riding on anyone's tail, I chuckled. We have other modes of transportation.
Like what?
Carmen furrowed her brow as she stared at me. Have you ever used a portal? I asked with a mischievous grin.